Tell of his excellent greatness, forever in joyful song. That's what we're going to do. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 135. Psalm 135. Let's read verse 5 together. Psalm 135, verse 5, it says, "For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods." David said, "I know that. I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods." Now, let me give you the point of our message today. This is the focal point. This is the object, all right? Of every great thing that can be seen, and every great thing that can be known, and every great thing that can be done, Christ is greater. Christ is greater. That's the title of this message, and that's the whole point of it. That's the whole point of it. Christ is greater. The Lord is great. And he's above all gods. He's above everything. He is above everything. Now, that's all I want to say. That's literally all I want to say. That's all I want us to see. That's all I want us to enjoy. Christ is greater. What we're going to do, and I say this carefully, but we're going to brag on him. That's what we're going to do. I thought about little kids. You know how little kids do. Yeah, well, he's greater. Yeah, well, my God's greater. That's what we're going to do. We're going to brag on him. Christ is greater. He's greater. No matter what it is, we're going to declare Christ is greater. And he is. He truly is. The Apostle Paul asked the question in Romans chapter 3. He asked this question. He said, "Where is boasting?" And he answered that question right there. And he answered that question in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And he answered that question in Galatians chapter 6. And he answered that question all over the place, in all kinds of ways, every way known to man. Where is boasting then? He said, it's in the Lord. It's in the Lord. He said, if any man glory, let him glory in the Lord. He said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, by God's grace, that's what we're going to do this morning. And that is all we're going to do this morning. I don't have a complicated outline today. Sometimes, you know, I have points and subpoints, and all right, number one, number two, I don't have that today. I don't have any of that today. I only have one point. Christ is greater. That's it. That's all I have to say. Christ is greater. David constantly said in the Psalms, he said, "Great is he, and greatly to be praised." And that's so. He is worthy to be praised for his greatness. As I was writing this out, I was thinking, you know, this is a good thing to do. Just to praise him. Just to praise him. That's it. Only to praise him for his greatness. Look with me right here at verse 1. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise Him. And praise His name. Praise Him for who He is, and praise Him for what He has done. That's what worship is. That's what preaching is. That's what the gospel is. That's what we're doing. We are praising Him for who He is and for what He's done. Praise Him, praise Him. Tell of His excellent greatness. That's what we just sang. Praise Him for who He is. Who is He? Who is He? Well, let's skim a few verses together here. Go with me to Psalm 113. Psalm 113, verse 4 says, "The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens." Now, there's another verse we're going to read in a minute, and it's going to emphasize that statement. But, you know, we think of our God is in the heavens. And He is, but that says He's above the heavens. He's above. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Verse 5 says, "Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high?" Who is like Him? He's the one who dwells on high. He is high above, and His glory is high above. Who is like Him? Here's the answer. No one. No one. In Isaiah 40, He said, "To whom will you liken Me? To whom will you liken Me?" Look at Psalm 93 with me. Psalm 93, verse 1 says, "The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith He hath girded Himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever." It doesn't matter what we're talking about, on land or sea. The Lord on high is mightier. He's the greatest. Look at Psalm 92, verse 1. "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." I've mentioned before that it's a good thing when we pray to Him to give thanks and to praise Him rather than constantly asking for things. I say that all the time. I don't believe I'm capable of doing that. I don't know if I've ever prayed to Him and not asked Him for something. Even consciously, I still have to ask Him for things. But it's a good thing to just praise Him. And to just thank Him and to just acknowledge Him for who He is, what He's done, and then be silent. Oh, it's such a good thing. It's a good thing to glorify him. You know, he is lifted up, but it's a good thing to lift him up and acknowledge where he is. It's a good thing to glorify and lift up thy name, O Most High, the Most High, whose name is lifted up. Now, I want you to turn with me somewhere. We're going to turn a little bit. But let's stop by our text along the way. We're going somewhere, but go to our text along the way. Go back to Psalm 135. O Most High, whose name is lifted up. All right, his name is lifted up. Psalm 135, look at verse 5. It says, "For I know that the Lord is great." You see that capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D? That's Jehovah. "And that our Lord," and do you see that capital L, lowercase O, lowercase R, lowercase D? "That our Lord is above all gods." What is his name? What is his name? We're told to praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Who are we talking about? What is the name of the Most High? We'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That's who the capital L, lowercase O, lowercase R, lowercase D is. Jehovah, yes. Christ Jesus. Now see if the Lord will let you enter into these verses. Verse 6, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Do you know how holy that statement is? For somebody to think, "I am equal with God." And he's just in doing so, right in doing so, because he is God. In the beginning with God. "He thought it not robbery to be equal with God." But verse 7 says, "He made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant." He became the servant of God his Father. He came to, in the service of his Father, to serve his people. He came to carry something for them. He came to bear something for them. And it was their sin. He took upon him the form of a servant, as a humbled servant for sin. And he was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Acts chapter 8 says he humiliated himself. He bore that sin before the judgment throne of God. And he became obedient unto death, bearing that punishment, bearing that penalty, even the death of the cross. And because he did that, verse 9 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." And do we realize how privileged we are to know that name and say that name? You talk about a name that rolls off the tongues of men and women. That name is above every name. Verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven. And I want to do that perfectly, sinlessly. I want to bow to him. And every knee should bow in earth, and every knee's going to bow under the earth. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, capital L, lowercase O-R-D, to the glory of God the Father. What is the name of the Most High? Here it is. Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth, the Lord Jesus Christ, sweetest name I know. Hope of earth, joy of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name as high and lifted up. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is the greatest. He is the highest. Now let's repeat something that our brother just said. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 says, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Now, we just heard, I knew he was going to bring that for the Bible study. And we just heard him expound on that glorious event of God sending Jonah to Nineveh. Amazing. That truly is amazing. You think about how amazing it was that this man Jonah was actually in a whale's belly. Think about that. For 3 days and three nights, and he lived through it. He was carried down to the bottom of the ocean, and he lived through it. That fish spit him out, and after the fish spit him out, he went and started preaching the gospel. And it does not say if every single person in Nineveh was saved or not. It does not literally say the words, every single person in Nineveh. But the scripture says the city of Nineveh repented at the preaching of that one man. Can you imagine what we just heard about that man going into the center? I can't imagine. I cannot imagine. Who is sufficient for these things? Well, I'm not. Jonah's not. Nobody is. But can you imagine a man going into the heart of a city and crying what he was told to cry? And the city is crushed. And the city falls down. The city bows down. Can you imagine? Well, look at verse 41. "The men of Nineveh shall rise in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah." He said, and behold, a greater than Jonah's here. Christ is greater. You think Jonah as a picture, as a type, you think he was great? Just look to the one he was picturing. Just look at what those 3 days and those three nights pictured. The Son of Man being in the heart of the earth. Just look at what his resurrection out of that fish's belly pictured. Just look at what the good news from that one man, by the good news of one man, Just one man. Look at what that pictured. Christ the man, the good news that has come through Christ the man. He said a greater than Jonah's here. Verse 42 right here says, "And the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon's here." Boy, Solomon was quite a man. All of his wisdom, all of his riches. He was a great picture of Christ. That's what he was. But even so, the picture does not come close to the reality of the one Solomon represents. Jesus Christ the Lord. He said, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The King of Kings is here." At the beginning of this chapter here in Matthew chapter 12, some Pharisees were rebuking the Lord because they said that he was disgracing their laws and he was disgracing their holy days and their holy places. Look at verse 6, Matthew 12, verse 6. It says, "But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple." He said, "You're worshiping your temple. You worship in your temple and you worship your temple," which is what people do. "You think it's a holy place. You think it's full of holiness." He said, "The one standing right in front of you is greater than your temple." That temple represents the one standing right in front of you. I am the temple. That's what he's saying. I am the temple. I am the place of worship. I am the sacrifice that all those sacrifices in the temple represented. I am the ordinance. I am the holiness. I am the intercession. I am the priest. I am the altar. I am the blood. I'm the judge. I'm the advocate. I'm all of it. Christ is all of it. He said, "You think your temple is great? A greater than your temple is here." That's what the whole book of Hebrews is about. The whole book of Hebrews is talking about all the Old Testament ordinances and all the laws and all the everything that was given to God's people for worshiping and for appeasing God for their sin. It continually says, Christ is better. That's the whole point of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. Everything you see, all those glorious things, Christ is better. Christ is greater. They were pictures of appeasement. He is appeasement. They pictured salvation. He is salvation. No matter what it is, no matter what it pictures, Christ is greater. No matter who it is, no matter what any man or woman has done, Christ is greater. The Jews said to our Lord one time, and think about this, they said, "Are you greater than our father Jacob?" Wait a minute. Are you saying you're greater than Jacob? They said another time, "Are you greater than our father Abraham?" Oh, the greatness of Christ. Eternity will be spent trying to declare it, enjoy it. The greatness of Christ. All of eternity, all of heaven is going to revolve around one man. The greatness and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go with me back to Psalm 135. Verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good." He's good. His grace has gone out to his people. He's good. He has given. This great and high and holy God has given. What has he given? He's given himself. He gave himself to his people. He gave himself for his people. He gave his body to bear the sin of his people. He gave his blood to pay the debt of the sin of his people. He gave his life. He gave his place. Where is his place? It's on the throne. And he said, I want you to sit right here with me. He gave all that he had to redeem his particular people back to himself. Verse 3 says, sing praises unto his name, Savior. The Savior of sinners, the Shepherd of sinners. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. He said, sing praises, you sinful servants, because that's who this great and high and holy God has chosen to save. He chose Jacob. He chose the sinner. He chose the worst of the worst to take off of the dunghill and to sit among princes, to sit them with him on high. I'm done. All right. I'm closing. Hold your place right here and go to Psalm 113 again. Two scriptures and I'm done. Psalm 113. Verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, in his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven? When I read that, oh man, that just made me see him high and lifted up. He humbled himself to behold the things that are in heaven. He goes on to say, and in earth. And how amazing. Verse 7 says, he raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Sing praise to his high and holy name for the glorious and gracious and merciful things that he's done. So, so merciful. Just listen, our text, verse 5 says, I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods. And by his grace, we know that too. We know that he's above all gods, especially the one that my sinfulness has tried to make out of my own flesh. This little God that I worship, my wretched flesh, his works are above all. His greatness is above all. His glory is above all. And we'll close this message with this verse for a benediction, okay? This will be the final word of the message. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, it says, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. All right, let's all stand together.